Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are talking about National Black HIV Awareness Day as we take a look at what's new in the fight against the disease and some of the same concerns that have been around for quite some time. My guests are Dr. Darren Roberts, a physician and HIV/AIDS research expert, Ebony Brown, an HIV/AIDS advocate and founder of Determined Our People Excel, and Sharon Coker. She is a community health outreach manager for Heart to Hand Incorporated and an HIV/AIDS advocate. Let's go back to the phone lines. Phoenix, you were saying that you were sitting down and you broke out after having some shrimp. Go ahead, finish your story.
Yeah. Well, just so in regards to the symptoms, I went, first of all, for a mammogram.
Mm-hmm.
They found these excessive number of lymph nodes. So what they did was they did a biopsy, assuming it was cancer, but no blood work was drawn. So I went through that stress. And so they determined it was not cancer. And so months later, I had some seafood and I broke out. And I went to my doctor and I told him the symptoms. And what he did was he gave me steroids. He still didn't do blood work. But I asked for the test again. So when I went to the lab technician, I asked, I said, did he check the box? And she said, no, but I will. 3 days later, that's when I found out that I had been infected.
I see.
To go quickly along, I contacted the guy who avoided me.
I see.
I then contacted the police. They did the report. I disclosed my entire private life. They investigated the guy, and what made me extremely distraught is that he had been infected for 10 years.
Wow.
And
oh, wow.
Never said anything.
Wow.
So they did the report. It went to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor did not prosecute because he admitted to having it.
Mm-hmm.
And he also admitted and said, well, I told her, which he never disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
But because he said that to the detective, I guess that gave him some leeway. The prosecutor then said to me, well, how do I prosecute him? I said, he was the only man I was with.
Yeah. How are you now, Phoenix? You said it's been about a year or so. How is your health now? Not only physically, but emotionally.
You do suffer from depression. I think because I'm a strong person, that has helped me some, but I do understand people who cannot deal with it. The one thing I noticed is, and this is within Prince George's County, there were no counseling available, and I did seek it. And that was very difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
Then you couldn't, you have group sessions.
Right.
There weren't any. In Prince George's County. I reached out to churches. They couldn't help me. They said, if you're not a member here, we can't help you.
Mm-hmm.
So they recommended that I go to Freedman's Clinic in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me stop you because I want to bring my guests back in because I can hear, Sharon, and I can see, Dr. Brown as well as, I'm sorry, Dr. Roberts and Ebony, kind of chomping at the bit. Sharon, you first. What are you hearing here?
So I'm hearing several things, but for the last statement she made about no support, we do have a men and women support group here at Heart to Hand. It's free. You don't have to be a client here. The women meet another Monday evening. The men meet on every other Wednesday from 5 to 7:30. I can give the number now or I can give it later, but you're welcome.
Well, no, please give it now. Also, okay. Is there a website?
Yes. Our website is www.hearttohandinc.org.
Hearttohandinc.org? Is that heart T-O or heart the number 2?
And the letter 2, T-O.
Mm-hmm.
Handinc.org.
And your phone number?
Our phone number is 301-772-0103.
And for our listeners who are online, as always, I'll make sure that I post the information on our website. But please continue, Sharon, with what you were sharing with us.
So, I her story sounds a lot like a lot of our clients here. And we encourage women, you know, love yourself, get tested. You know, a lot of people say, you know, what do you bring to the table? I want to know your status at the table, you know. And if two people aren't mature enough to have that conversation, or the person is not wanting to have the conversation, that should send a red flag.
Ebony, your thoughts about what you heard from Phoenix.
If it's a long term or something you want to invest some time in, we encourage people coming together as a couple.
Yeah.
Okay.
And count together and go through the process together to see the seriousness of the test itself. And then you feel so much better because you're open. There's not too much other things you cannot talk about.
Okay. Ebony, your thoughts about what Phoenix was sharing with us.
It's definitely heartbreaking to hear that she couldn't find. It's definitely heartbreaking to hear that she couldn't find the support that she needed. And just to kind of piggyback off of what Ms. Cooper was saying, is that, you know, the conversation definitely needs to be held up front. Period. And I think a lot of people just really take that for granted and they don't want to discuss that. They don't. I always joke and say, hey, our first date needs to be to the clinic. I need to know what's going on with you, because it's serious. It's serious. And then you get comfortable with a person and then the emotions overtake the logic and, you know, and things get heated and you're in the moment and then, oh, we don't have any protection. So, you know, let's go ahead. I mean, it's cool. I trust you. You look good. Mm-hmm. You smell good. You feel good. So it's okay. But I mean, and even it's not only sexual that it can be contracted, you know, it's definitely through blood and, you know, that it's just other ways that it can be done. But I guess the larger ways that it can be contracted is through sexual.
Talk to me, Dr. Roberts, about something that Phoenix was talking about, where, you know, some of the doctors didn't check. They didn't check that HIV test box. And according to her story, it happened not once, but twice.
Yeah. So that's really unfortunate. However, there are a few factors that tend to contribute to situations like that. One is the fact that early HIV can mimic a number of different diseases. There's something called acute retroviral syndrome, which is basically almost flu-like symptoms. So you could just feel kind of sick, you know, feel like you have the flu, when in fact you actually have an early case of HIV. Mm-hmm. And also swollen lymph nodes, as the caller was talking about, could be confused with some sort of lymphoma, when in fact it's actually HIV. And also, just to touch on what I think we had talked about earlier, one of the fastest growing populations when it comes to HIV is actually the population over 50. And those individuals, as you know, Carl was saying earlier, you know, there's a certain amount of trust, you know, that they there's an assumption that, OK, well, that's a young person's disease. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to get that from this guy. He's 60. I'm 55. What, you know, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and at the end of the day, really, that 55-year-old guy or woman might be having sex with a 20-year-old positive person. And boom, now you have it.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, talk to me a little bit about the issue as it relates to, you know, African American women. I know that in the early 2000s they were considered, you know, one of the populations with the fastest rate of HIV infection. Have we seen that change any?
It's still increasing. Actually, right now in our county, Prince George's County, the females represent 37.9%. of the total persons living with HIV. So again, the women are not having that conversation. And it's okay to be rejected.
What do you mean by that?
You know, if a man is telling you, I'm not going to use protection, then you're better than that. You deserve better. You walk away from that. Because you don't know what's being hidden, what the hidden agenda is. And so it's just so many other layers. And as the women are increasing, the women over 50 she spoke on, you know, the seniors, I would call the baby boomers, you know, when they were engaging at a young age, you know, when things happen, that pill, you know, you take a shot, the syphilis, you know, take a shot, penicillin shot, and that cured that. Mm-hmm. So their mindset is thinking, why go through all this? I wasn't using protection then. Right. Why got started now? Right. But people aren't thinking, I may have that 20-something-year-old who is going from person to person, who is, you know, stroking my ego and just throwing wisdom and out the window.
Yeah.
And then find himself in a situation, middle age, dealing with HIV.
Yeah. Another really unfortunate thing that I think the caller touched on was the lack of support, I guess, she had experienced.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there have been, you know, some studies that have shown that the likelihood of medication compliance and positive long-term outcomes is associated with your support system. The better the support system, the more likely you are to take your medications, the more likely you are to have healthy long-term outcomes. So it's always crucial to have organizations available for people to, you know, congregate and talk about their experiences and support each other through the process. Because contracting HIV, the worst thing about it, especially these days, is really the stigma,
mm-hmm.
you know, considering
yeah.
the kind of medications we have available to us. And so if we can fight through the stigma, we can have people living long, productive, healthy lives.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is National Black HIV Awareness Days, and we're taking a look at what's new in the fight against the disease, as well as some problems that have been around for a while. Lines are still open if you have a question or comment. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. Ebony, you were talking about stigma. Talk to me about the conversations that you have with your young people regarding that.
I definitely try to make it as comfortable for them as possible and be transparent. I do have a few friends that are living with the virus, and they are my age. I'm 29. So they are a little bit younger than me a little bit older than me as well, in their early 30s, and that from ages 14 to 24 is the highest risk right now with HIV. So when I talk to them, I do let them know that you are at the highest risk right now, and you have to be as open and as honest as you possibly can with yourself and with your partner. And I mean, I try to joke with them about it because I want to make it somewhat light, but then I also let it be heavy too, because mm-hmm. I'm letting you know that it's real. Yeah, you know, you might like the girl, and yeah, she cute, but you need to ask her, or you need to kind of find out what's going on, what's her reputation, what's her background. And then also, especially when they're going off to college, because I had a few that went to college, I had a serious talk with them as far as saying, hey, you know, before, I know you're going to college, you're going to have fun, you're going to go to the parties, you're going to drink and do whatever. You need to make sure you're safe. I know they have testing on college sites as well.
Yes.
They offer free testing there. So you need to just go ahead and make sure you know your status. And whoever you're about to deal with, you know, don't put that to the back burner of your mind. You know, take them to let's go to this campus real quick. Let's go get tested. Let's see what's going on. And then we can go ahead and proceed from there.
Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Veronica calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Veronica. What's on your mind?
Hi. So my question is, after people take the test, if they were to find out that they were HIV positive, what is the immediate next step? How do they get help? How do they get treatment?
It's a very good question. So there are a number of facilities. The institution I used to work at, Howard University, has a very good system available. So after the initial testing, so there's a preliminary testing that's done to see if you're positive or negative. After that, there's a confirmatory test that's performed just to make sure, to confirm that test is actually correct. After that, most facilities have a method of immediately linking you to care at whatever local facility. So at Howard, there's a clinic called the Sidmar Clinic, and most patients we try to link directly to that clinic, to link them right to a physician at that clinic. Also, what was available were like case workers and things of that nature, and we try to keep them in the system so that now they can have all of their care in a one-stop shop, you know, location. You know,
I need to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask a little bit more about that first test and the second one as well. What's involved? What happens? How long does it take to get your results? We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. On SiriusXM Channel 141, I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day as we take a look at what's new in the fight against the disease, as well as some issues that have been around for quite some time. Let me go back to the phone lines. Tasha, calling from D.C. Tasha, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. So after listening, I had a quick question. I wanted to know how often, is there ever a time that it would be too often to get tested? I know that I have actually been practicing abstinence for several years now, but I still kind of, because periodically I might get like a sore throat or get sick, I go to the doctor and I ask them to get checked, but they kind of respond to me like I'm a hypochondriac or something. Okay, didn't you check this, you know, 6 months ago, and you checked, you know, 6 months prior to that, it's the same thing. And especially if I'm not sexually active, their attitude is almost like, what am I looking for? But it's, I guess I'm trying to ask, how do you know how, when is the time that it's, is there ever a time where it's too often to check for HIV/AIDS?
Doctor, that's such a great question.
Definitely a good question.
Go ahead, and I'll let you jump in with that.
Personally, I recommend if an individual is in a sexual relationship, they get tested every 3 to 6 months. If you're not sexually active, meaning you haven't had sex within like 6 to 12 months, I still suggest getting tested every year just to stay in practice. However, if you're in a sexual relationship, I'd say every 3 to 6 months. Anything less than that, you know, every month or something like that, that might be a little excessive. However, every 3 to 6 months, I'd say, is pretty good for somebody who's sexually active.
Sharon, your thoughts about that?
And I also want to add, every time you change new partners.
Sure. Yes, very true.
And you didn't use protection, I would encourage you to get that test done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but if it's been several years since you've been sexually active, and maybe, you know, like you feel that someone maybe 8 years ago was not didn't practice the healthiest sexual behaviors. So,
yeah.
But, you know, 7 years from then, and then you get checked often, is that still,
yes.
I mean, wouldn't you still want to check that out often? Or?
So if the last sexual encounter you had was about 8 years ago, and you've had no signs or symptoms, and you've been tested and it's turned up negative since then on multiple occasions, it's pretty certain that you're okay.
Yeah, it's not like the IRS where you got to keep your taxes for 7 years. I would imagine, you know, Tasha, if you've abstained, for a long time, then, you know, that partner, you know, just, and if you think that person is, you know, may have been, you know, at risk, and you're cool, then, you know, chances are, if your tests are negative, a cold is a cold and the flu is the flu.
Exactly.
just wrap up, have some honey and lemon, and watch Being Mary Jane, and you'll be just fine.
Thank you, guys.
Good health to you, Tasha. But, you know, she does raise, you know, an interesting point, Sharon, is that you have stigma, but you also have a lot of fear out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of fear.
Well, Sharon, talk to me about what women are saying about their concerns.
They're saying they're afraid. They're afraid of getting it, but they're also afraid of being alone.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's another conversation.
Yeah.
So you say to the person, so what's more important to you, yourself?
Or being with someone.
Exactly.
Or engage in something that's not right for you,
yeah,
at that time.
I think another thing is why there's a lot of fear is that it's not being talked about as much as it was. Nobody wants to talk about it because of the fear, because of the stigma. But, I mean, it's still a conversation that needs to be had. And a lot of times, you know, recently it's just been kind of swept under the rug a little bit. Maybe,
but is that because people are not dying in as large numbers,
yeah,
because there's been so much work from the medical community, the advocacy right. community to mm-hmm. reduce the stigma so it's not in the headlines.
It's not. Absolutely. But and like we were saying before, like you said, Dr. Roberts, is that people have gotten complacent now.
Yeah.
You know, you can live with it. You can live with it, and there's no need to discuss it as much. There's no need to be aware of your status as much because, you know, it's fine now. I don't have to tell you about it because I'm on my meds. You know,
yeah.
we use protection. It's fine. Oh, if you do get sick, okay, that's fine. I'll take you to my doctor. It's cool. You know, I mean, it's not really said, but that's the thoughts and that's the actions behind it mm-hmm. as well.
When you... Sharon, I'm assuming that you yeah. had a chance to hear what some of the support groups, both men and women, are saying.
Uh-huh.
What do the men say about why they were not as proactive in, you know, sharing information, you know, with their partners and not, you know, kind of being upfront about it?
The question was never brought up. They didn't ask. Mm-hmm. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah.
Type scenario.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Which to me is that saying very little communication and talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that conversation needs to be had if you're sharing your prized possession, your body. This is your temple.
Dr. Roberts, talk to me about the test, because I don't want to miss that point.
Sure.
You mentioned two tests. Describe to me the process for the first one.
So generally, the first test in a number of facilities is an oral swab test. And basically, you swab the gums, you wait approximately 20 minutes, and you have your results. And that's what we refer to as our preliminary test. Then we perform a confirmatory test if that test is positive. So then we actually draw blood. And there are a number of testing modalities now that can actually give you a confirmatory result within about an hour. And so basically within that day, most facilities can test you, confirm you, and then after that link you to a physician and quite possibly even have an appointment for you that same day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very quick process now that's been streamlined over the years considering the fact that it was so prevalent in D.C.
Are there any chances of false positives?
Oh, yeah. There are chances of false positives, but that's why we have the confirmatory test.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of viral diseases that our preliminary test can, on occasion, confuse with HIV.
Like which ones?
And one of them is hepatitis, for example. And the reason why the preliminary test can kind of mix things up is because it's actually an antibody test. So what it does is, if anybody out there doesn't understand what antibodies are, your body creates these little molecules when it encounters a disease that it sends out to fight the disease.
White blood cells.
Yeah. So, the white blood cells make the antibodies.
Okay.
Make these little molecules. And then these little molecules attack the virus or attack whatever disease. And what happens is this oral swab picks up those antibodies. However, sometimes those antibodies can kind of look... Like a hepatitis antibody can kind of look like an HIV antibody to one of these tests, and you can get a false positive.
Okay.
So then we do the confirmation test anyway. And under normal circumstances, that confirmation test tells us whether you are actually positive or negative.
So you could get a positive, a false positive, and then you do the blood test, which can come
right.
out negative.
Yes.
So then you've got a negative, you've got a positive. So then how do you what's the next one?
So then there's a third test, which is PCR. Which is actually, and we talked about this a little while ago, which actually they look for RNA, which is it's similar to DNA. It's mm-hmm. a molecule inside of the virus, and it actually detects whether you have the presence of that genetic material, that virus's genetic material in your blood. And that is the ultimate definitive test for you.
And how long does it usually take to get results
so
from that?
So with the PCR, most labs actually send out to some other company, like LabCorp or something like that for that. Mm-hmm. And the result takes a couple days mm-hmm. to come back. So all in all, I mean, worst case scenario, you might have to wait 2 or 3 days to really find out whether you're positive or negative.
I have only a few minutes left. I wanted to, you know, end with Sharon and then, you know, Ebony. Sharon, you know, what's your 1 minute pitch to the black community about HIV AIDS in 2017?
Love yourself and get tested. And there's a drug out there called PrEP.
Yes.
For those persons who are maybe not so conscious of protecting themselves, But this medication prep, which is part of the cocktail the person living with HIV takes every day, will cover them from the virus.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. Mm-hmm. So basically, you're going to take a cocktail of medications. Let's say, for example, I'm in a relationship with somebody who I know is positive. I take this cocktail of medications, and it decreases my likelihood of contracting it from that person by up to like 70%.
Excellent. And Ebony, your 1 minute pitch to your constituency, your community about HIV/AIDS.
Go get tested. Know your status, and don't be afraid. I know it's easier said than done, but a lot of people are living with the virus, and it's not a death sentence. You can always go get tested. You're more than welcome to come on February the 11th, this Saturday, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Boys and Girls Club. We're partnering with Whitman Walker to get you tested and get you help if you need be. They're a great organization as well, Whitman Walker of Washington, D.C. Nice. They're going to be there giving out free testing.
And probably free condoms, too.
And yes. Free condoms.
Get a bag. Just get a whole bag. Just sling it over your shoulder so you can, be safe. Listen, I want to thank all of you, Dr. Darren Roberts, Ebony Brown. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And Sharon Coker, thank you so much for your, nose to the grindstone work in the community as well. So thank you all so very, very much. And again, we're going to be posting this information on WHUR.com this evening on the Daily Drum page. And so you'll have an opportunity to pick up that information as well online. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141 on this Tuesday, February 7th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR or H Fisher WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU, and Sirius XM Channel 141.